Look over at somebody and smile and say, you look good this morning. Yeah, amen. You look good this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can look back and say, don't lie in church, all right? Don't lie in church. You know, talking about lying, I think that's the title of my message today, is stop lying to yourself. You know, a lot of times we lie, but we lie to ourselves. We say things like, nobody loves me. Well, that's a lie. Or I can't do it. That's another lie. Or I shouldn't be here. That's a lie. Or I'll never succeed. That's another lie. Stop lying to yourself. I want you to look with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. This is an incredible series that I'm embarking on. You don't want to miss next week. I'm going to share with you three principles that have kept me in Christ for over 40 years. And it's what's helped me to remain as a pastor in the same church for all this time. I didn't tuck tail and run. I didn't quit. I didn't, you know, go out and get loaded and drunk or whatever else pastors do. And there's three things that I want to share with you. And I think that's going to really be helpful. But today, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So many people are looking for the blessing. It's already done. Has is past tense. God's already blessed you. He's already blessed you. That's what the Bible said. Paul is trying to give them this revelation. And he said he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now notice, where are the spiritual blessings? In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Somebody said, well, I need to get them from the heavenlies down here into the earthlies, man. That's where I need. I need the blessing right here. Well, if you'll understand, in the weeks ahead, I'm going to teach you an insight God gave me, and I've never seen this in 40 years of ministry, that when Jesus went into heaven, ascended into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of the Father, there was an enthronement ceremony in heaven. Jesus received aspects of the kingdom when he sat down. And I'm going to give you at least three of them. And the reason for that is because all authority had been given to Jesus. And in that enthronement ceremony, he was given these additives of the kingdom, which tell us that because we are joint heirs with Christ, how many know that we are seated with him where? Where are the blessings of God? In heavenly places. See, too many people talk about the cross and leave it there. But I'm going to share some things with you about the cross that is going to startle you. As a matter of fact, the Bible said if that's all you believe in, your hope, your faith is futile. It won't even save you. How about that? Selah. Think about that for a minute. But we'll talk more about that. But the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where you and I are to live. And we are seated with Christ, hallelujah, in heavenly places. So we see Paul reiterating this over and over in his writings. So he's telling us that we've been blessed, and it's in spiritual blessings. Look at the next verse. And we see now that he's laying for us a precedent that says, just as he chose us in him, when? Everybody say, when? I like to say it when I ask those questions. This is an open book test. The answers are right there. So he chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So think about it. Before there was a heaven, before there was an earth, before there was light, before there was dark, before there were planets, before there were suns, before there were moons, God said, I'm going to choose you. In other words, you and I were so on God's mind that he decided, because he was provoked with the thought of who you are, that he would create a world. Now think about that for a minute. In other words, you and I were on God's mind before there was anything created. And God said, you know what I'm going to do? Because you're in my thoughts, I'm going to create a world for you to live in. And so he placed Adam in the garden. And he said, Adam, this is your place. I want you to tend it and keep it, multiply, have dominion. This is for you. Do you like it? Adam said, man, I like it. I am thankful. Let me give you an illustration. The other day, Tina and I were walking by a store, and she said to me, if you ever want to, is that how you said it? She said, if you ever want to, you can buy me that. And I'm like, yeah, okay, if I ever want to. You know what I'm talking about? You understand that, Marlon? Yeah, some of us understand that. So the other day, I was walking down the same way, but I really wasn't paying attention when she said that. And I really didn't know what she was pointing at, and I don't remember what store window it was in. I'm going to be real honest here, okay? But I had her on my mind. And because she was in my thoughts, it moved me to create something that would connect us in thanksgiving. All right, I didn't get the candle. I found out later it was a candle. And now I know I was on the wrong side of the street. It was on the other side of the street. So I'm going back, all right? But let me give you another illustration. I've been in physical therapy now for 8 weeks. 3 times a day, 21 times a week. And I haven't missed one session. And I've been doing, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's no small task. But nonetheless, the therapist I have now is amazing. I mean, he looks like a jock. He's all muscle bound. And when I looked at him, I went, oh my gosh, he's going to hurt me, you know. Prior to him, I had Hilda from Germany. She took care of me too. But this time, this guy came in. And he said, I'm going to help you. And he said, look, we're not mean. You're just a wimp. Just not know that right now. We're going to get your range of motion back. We're going to get your strength back. But it's a journey. Well, anyway, as he's been working with me and helping me, he got in my thoughts. I was hearing him talk to other people because they all talk to each other while they're hurting us. Other therapists, they talk to each other like, yeah, what'd you do this week? Oh, I took the kids to swim meet, or I went fishing. I'm like, oh, stop. So I was listening to him, and I found out the guy is an avid fisherman. I like his treatment of me. I like the way he's shown interest in me. He got into my thoughts, and immediately my response was, I'm going to get him a gift certificate at the end of this journey from Bass Pro or Pro Bass, I don't know which it is, but it's like a sporting goods store. And I'm going to say, thank you for hurting me these last some weeks. I appreciate it very much. But because he got into my thoughts, it provoked me to create something for him to enjoy. Let me give you another illustration. One of the young men on our staff, Joshua Cook, I dedicated him. He's now 28, 29, I don't know how years old. This past week, he got engaged. Yeah, to Caitlin. Now, let me just tell you, Caitlin got in his thoughts. And his heart, too. But because Caitlin got in his thinking, he created a storybook atmosphere that he knew she would love. So it was posted all over Facebook. He took her outside on this deck. He had white lights hanging from the trees. He had candles burning in the corner. He had little heart flowers on the deck. He had all this stuff laying there. Because she got in his thinking, he was provoked to create something for her that he knew she would enjoy. Now, if I go back to my scripture, God said before he created the world, before the foundations of the creation of the world, you and I were on his mind. Did you know God's been thinking about you for a long time? And so much so that it provoked him to create a world for you and I to live in. And to become what? Thankful for. Say thankful. Should we be thankful for what God has given us? Absolutely. Are we thankful all the time? When does thankfulness come to an end? When we start lying to ourselves. Let me go on in this illustration. Adam and Eve are in the garden. God said, you can have everything in this gardens except for this one tree. Don't touch that tree. Because if you touch that tree in that day, you're going to die. And Satan came and said, you're not going to die, but you're going to be like God. And he doesn't want you to be like him because, you know, that's God's got this big ego. And you just go ahead and do it. And so the story is that Adam took a bite of the apple. Well, let me change your image and your perception about that experience. It wasn't an apple that he bit. It was the lie that he partook of. Anytime you and I partake of a lie, we identify with the old carnal nature because Satan is the father of lies, and lying will produce unthankfulness. Well, let me show you that. If you can go fast forward on my scriptures to Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Let's go to verse 25. I know we've read this scripture before, but I'd like for you to read it with me. Can you? Let's do it. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Okay, so what did they do? They had the truth, and what did they do with the truth? They exchanged it for a... So when they took, they had the truth said that you can eat of all of the trees, but don't eat of this one, because in the day that you'll eat of it, you'll die. They took that truth and they exchanged it for the lie that said, oh, you won't die, but you'll be like God. So they took the lie and forsook the truth. Correct? Now look at the next verse. Verse 26. Romans 1, verse 26 says that as a result, or for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Now, I want you to know that God didn't just send them towards vile passion. God didn't just sentence them to vile passion. No, what happened is when they exchanged truth for a lie, the consequence was that they walked on a pathway of self-destruction. Are you following me? For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Now see, be careful there, you heterosexual, that you don't point your finger and condemn the homosexual with this verse, because it also applies to you and me. Because there are times when we exchange truth for a lie and we will walk the same pathway of self-destruction. You follow what I'm saying? So Paul is trying to help us understand that in lying, we identify with our former nature. Or when we lie to ourselves. So if you get up this morning and you say, well, I'm not going to church because nobody there really likes me anyway. Lie. I'm not going to try to open this business because, you know, I'm a woman and I don't have this kind of resources and nobody will probably give me a loan anyway. Lie. I'm not going to really go into that ministry because that ministry is beyond my ability. I don't have a degree from Harvard, or I don't have a degree from Fuller, or I don't have this backing or this particular resume credential. Lie. And if we exchange truth for a lie, we nullify the atmosphere of what God has created for us. What happened to Adam and Eve when they exchanged the lie for the truth is they got expelled from his ideas. His idea was the garden. Now, because you exchanged truth for a lie, you can't live here. you go. So I must stop lying to myself. It's not that I'm lying to others. The most painful lie are the ones I believe. And we have an entire culture who are believing lies and trying to medicate, legislate, trying to politicize results and answers and address this downward spiral of humanity, this reprobate mindset that has overtaken a generation, and we're losing. Because it is a law. Exchange truth for a lie, and the results will be destruction. Now, notice something in Romans 1. God's thought prior to earthly creation was to reveal His glory. Reveal His glory. The Bible says in verse 20, I believe in Romans 1, you can put that one up, that God's creation reveals His glory. In other words, there's no one person that are excused. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, the moon preaches the Word of God. The stars preach the Word of God. The sand and the seashore and the oceans, the mountains, they preach that Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth. Watch, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. But do you know what God said? I'm going to reveal glory in my creation, but the glory that they're going to see in that creation is going to even be more dynamic. It's in the new creation. Everybody say, the new creation. Look over your neighbor and say, you're that new creation. Watch this. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. In other words, God said, I'm going to reveal my glory in the natural creation, but I'm going to reveal even a greater glory in my new creation. If the natural earth will cause men to marvel, if people marvel at the galaxies and the stars in the heavens, God is going to reveal His glory and His new creation that are literally going to cause men to marvel. They're going to run you down and say, how did you stand against such adversity? How did you get healed when they said it was stage 4, hopeless and helpless? How did you stand against such powers of darkness? How? Show me, who is this God that you're serving? I'm telling you, church, God is going to reveal His glory. As the waters cover the earth, so shall His glory cover us. See, too many of us have believed the lie that we're inferior, unworthy, rejected, diminished in importance, insignificant. We don't count. A lot of us don't even try because of past experiences. We believe what people have told us and what we tell ourselves. But I've got to remember that if the earthly creation caused men to wonder, how much more the new creation? Because time is coming that God has prepared before foundation in the world. And He's saying it's ready, it's time. It's time for you and I to begin walking in it. It's like saying, I remember as a child growing up, I mean, it was like clockwork. 5 p.m. every day we ate supper. Not 5:01, not 4:59. It was 5 p.m. And if I was outside, it was supper's ready. And because it was ready, you had to come. You couldn't be late. If you were late, you weren't going to eat. That's how it was at our house. You didn't say, wait a minute. There was no wait a minute. There was no, I'm coming. No, you better came already, buddy. You better be here. And God's saying, it's time. It's ready. The kingdom of God is ready. The kingdom of God is suffering violence, and the violent are taking it by force. God's saying, I'm releasing my glory on the earth. He has given you and me an opportunity to manifest truth in a generation. Wow. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. There's no darkness in you. He did this by commanding light to be. You and I are not in darkness. You are in the light of the Lord. Ephesians 5 and 8 says, once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Luke 1:79, darkness covered the earth, but a great light shone. You and I are walking in light. I want to show you this verse. This verse is very exciting. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Paul goes on to say, what we've got to do is be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We've got to be renewed in the way we think. We can't think lies. We have to think truth. We have to take inventory of our thoughts. We have to line it up with truth. If it's not truth, I have to reject it. I have to dismiss it. We'll talk about that a little more in just a minute. But listen, that you put on the new man. It's the new man. New man operates in truth. Old man operates in lies. Therefore, if I am a new man operating in lies, I have diverted to my old self. I don't want to live in the old self. The old self had nothing good in it. I want to walk in the new man. So the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Now look at verse 25. This is a great verse. I'd like for you to read it with me. Just kind of plug in, stay with me as if the Browns are winning. Ready? Why are you laughing? They're going to win today. Come on, let's go. All right. Therefore, come on, say it. Therefore, putting away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Putting away lying. That we no longer lie, but we speak truth to our neighbor, especially to ourselves. I've gotten caught up in that, where I start lying to myself. Oh, they probably don't want me there. That's why I didn't get invited. Oh, hey, I probably would never be able to do that. I won't even try. I don't want to be embarrassed. That's a lie. Because the Bible said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that he has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. See, I've got to learn to speak truth to myself and stop lying to myself. I need to counter the enemy's lie by telling myself truth. Why? Because my old life in Adam is part of the great lie of Satan. That's what Jesus said. He said, you're of your father, the devil. And he was the father of lies. John 8:44. He was the author of lies. He's the one that birthed lies. And you were birthed out of a lie. That's why we got to put lying far from us. That's why I believe in Revelation 21, I believe in 7, it says no liar can inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's not that you told a lie. You say, well, how much money did you make last week? $100. You really made $105. You're a liar and you're not going to heaven. That's not what he's saying there. He's saying those that identify with lying or deceit are identifying with the old nature, and the old nature can't get into heaven. It's not that you lied. Everybody in this room has lied once or twice, 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times. Preachers do it all the time. How many do you have in church? Oh, we had 1,000 people there. Truth be known, if you counted, it was 700. Then we say, well, it was evangelistically speaking. It's not the matter of fact of us stumbling or of us exaggerating or somehow our esteem is somehow pacified because we're able to, you know, enhance the numbers and all that. Revelation 21:7, you lied, you're not going to heaven. No, liars don't go into heaven because liars are of their father, the devil. But you've not been born again by the devil. Now, some of you may act like you were, but you're not. You were born by the Holy Spirit. Come on. So what do? We stop lying. We put away lying. We put away deceit. Romans 1:25 again. Who exchanged the truth for the lie. Exchange the truth for the lie. Exchange the truth for a lie. You see, it is still God's plan to bring his rule in earth. Did you know that? Did you know it was God's plan to bring his rule to the garden? Right? What was Satan's plan? To overthrow that rule. How many know in heaven it was God's plan to rule from his throne? How many know that Satan's plan was to usurp his authority on the throne and say, I will be like you. I will ascend to the Most High. I will be a God. God said, not on my watch. Get out of here. And out of heaven he went. His tactics are the same. It's to introduce deceit and lies. That's why you and I must love the truth. Love the truth. But you can't love that which you do not know. Caitlin was so overwhelmed, I didn't know Josh had it in him. He was a romantic. She was in church this morning, worshiping Jesus, like this. She was greeting people after church. Can I pray with you? Hi. She said yes. Listen to this. God had you in his thought, which that possession of his thought provoked him to create something he knew you would enjoy. So he got the candle. So he created a romantic setting and gave her the ring. God responded by creating. So I'm going to buy my physical therapist a gift card because he's in my thought. And because my thought provokes me to good, I want to create something for him to enjoy. He told me he loves fishing. That's all you got to tell me now because you've invested in me, even though I'm paying you. Even though you invested in me, you got in my thoughts, and now my thoughts have created good towards you. See, this is how marriages make it. Josh and Caitlin need to continue in truth. The moment one of them forsakes truth for lies, one of them becomes unthankful. And when they become unthankful, the whole relationship breaks down. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's why the enemy is wanting us to deceive us into lies and to speak lies. And next week I'll share with you one of the three life principles that I have adopted, and I don't do them enough. It's not like I've got it down, but one of them is confession. What I say out of my mouth is so important. I can't allow lies to come out of my mouth. I don't even want lies in my ears. Smith Wigglesworth told Lester Sumrall when he was 17 years old, because he had met him and Smith said, come over and we'll pray and talk about the Bible. The first time that Dr. Sumrall came to his house, he knocked on the door. Smith opened the door and he said, hello, what do you want? He said, you said to come over and we could pray and read the Bible. And he said, you can come in, but those lies under your arm, throw them in the garbage. It was a newspaper. He wouldn't even permit the newspaper in his home. He said, well, that's extreme. Maybe. I don't know about you, but I think we're living in extreme times. I think we're living in times when we can't be so open and vulnerable to the lies of an enemy or a generation who's trying to tell us that good is really evil. That's right, you're good. That's evil. And evil, oh, that's good. And we're like little birds, just give us more, give us more. You're so enlightening me. And we walk away with an exchange of truth for lies. And it begins our pathway of destruction. You weren't birthed out of a lie. I wasn't birthed out of a lie. Let me tell you just quickly how you were birthed. You might want to write this down or jot it in your notes section of your iPhone. James 1 and 18. I want you to read it with me and see this. Church, this is important because you have to defend your truth. You have to defend yourself against the onslaught of deception, against deceit, against untruth that's coming to you every moment. It's coming through the eye gate, through the ear gate. It's coming through the sensory realm. It's coming through your peers. It's coming through script. It's coming through movies. We are living a lie every day in America. You need to know this verse. Say it with me. Come on, let's scream it out. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You were birthed by the Father's will. So I'm just trying to figure out what is God's will. You're looking at it. I am God's will. You are God's will. I was birthed out of his will. His will is his word. That's where I got my origin from. I am the Father's will on the earth. To do what? To establish his rule. To establish his kingdom. To establish his righteousness. To establish his glory. To establish his power. To convert the nations. To come to bring them to Christ. It is my assignment. It is the Father's will. I am the Father's will. When I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror and I say, hello, Father's will. That's why Jesus prayed, as it were, drops of blood, not my will, but thine be done. But thine be done, God. Your will be done. I was birthed out of your will, and I refuse to do anything but your will. That's how you were birthed. Secondly, you were birthed by incorruptible seed. Say this with me. I was birthed through incorruptible seed. Number one, I was birthed out of the Father's will. Number two, I was birthed out of incorruptible seed. Watch this, 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Every seed brings forth fruit after its own kind. Let me make a statement. Don't get mad at me. It's just kind of like how I am. If you don't like your harvest that you're partaking of, go back to your field and replant it. Yeah, but if it wasn't for them, or if it wasn't for my mother, if it wasn't for my uncle, or if it wasn't for that boss, or if it wasn't for that neighbor, or if it wasn't for that church. No, honey, it's your field. It's your seed. You sowed it. Now you're going to eat it. The Bible says, as a man sows, so shall he reap. You don't like your harvest, go back and replant your field. Jesus said this, Adam, I want you to go into the garden. And there's a couple things I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you dominion over all things. I'm going to give you a command to multiply. And I'm going to give you seed. And it's going to bear after its own kind, so use it. Adam said, got it. Oh, he said, by the way, tend and keep what I'm giving you. Watch. Tend and keep. Two Hebrew words. Tend means cultivate. You got to put some investment into it. Cultivate it. Keep it is a defensive word in the Hebrew. That's interesting, isn't it? God put Adam in a garden that's perfect, and he said, you got to guard this. Because it won't stay perfect if you let something in it. What would that be, Jesus? It would be a serpent. Hiss, hiss, hiss. Hath not God said? Introduce lies into your thinking so that you'll exchange truth for the lie. Why would he want to do that? Because he knows that when you sow a lie, you have to reap its harvest. America is reaping a harvest of lies. And will continue to do so until it replants its field. But America will never replant its field if we can't get the church to go back and pull up the tares. How many know the story of the tares and the wheat? That at night when the farmer slept, the devil came and he planted tares among the wheat that looked like wheat, but it wasn't wheat. And it was like stealth. It was planted in the middle of the harvest. And Jesus said, don't worry about it, because in the end, I'm going to burn up the tares and I'm going to harvest the wheat. But there's an enemy today that is trying to plant tares into our harvest. That's why you have to guard your mind. I have to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. I can't allow any seed to come into my mind that's not birthed out of the will of God, that's not birthed out of the incorruptible seed, the word of God. Why? Because it will bear a harvest. I can't plant it myself. And if I come into close proximity to someone who's trying to infuse it in my thinking, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know what spirit you're of. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Well, now, you shouldn't believe that, you know, Pastor. I mean, come on, you're in a city, and this city's got problems, and this will never happen. And look, don't just keep your seed in your bag and keep your distance. I like you, but I don't like you enough to allow you to infiltrate my field with your bad seed. I'm not going to let you do it. You don't have to be politically correct. Watch. Number three. Number one, we are born out of the Father's will. Number two, we are born by incorruptible seed. Number three, John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I'm born of the Spirit. I was made for supernatural. Supernatural comes easy. I don't know why we have all these conferences on the supernatural. If you're born of the Spirit, it ought to come easy. You don't have to teach a fish to swim. He's birthed in water. All of a sudden, he swims. Or she. Is there a he or she fish? I think so. Have to teach a bird to fly. Bird comes out of the shell, gets a little nourishment, and leaves the nest, soaring through the heavenlies. It's like, man, where'd you learn that? Where'd you learn that? It was birthed in me. I have to teach a lion to roar. A lion knows who he is. It's birthed in him. You are born of the Spirit. And we're trying to teach people born in the Spirit to hear God's voice. Now answer me that. How is it that we have created this whole industry on the supernatural? While we ought to be spiritually minded. Listen, your natural birth no longer determines who you are. Ah, come on. I was born here, I was born there. I don't care if you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth or a plastic spoon. It doesn't determine who you are. You're not birthed out of your natural. I only had one parent. My father left me. That doesn't determine who you are. I've been abused. I've been I've been this or I've been that or I've been neglect. That doesn't determine who you are. You've now been born of the Spirit. You've now been born of the Word of God. You've been now born of the will of the Father. Do you realize who you are? That's who determines who you are now, is your origin. And it's not in the natural. You were birthed through the Word of God, which produces after its own kind. I can't help but produce the kingdom. It comes natural. I can't help but produce the Spirit because it comes natural. I can't help but manifest the will of the Father. It just comes natural. It's how I was birthed. Look, folks, it's not that hard. Look at your neighbor and say, you are smarter than a fifth grader. I think. Right? All right, I just got two more verses. Can you handle it? Go to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Stop lying to yourself or believing the lies of others around you. Titus 3 and 3. For we ourselves were once also foolish. We once were what? Foolish. What else? We once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's what we used to be. However, those that have been born of the Father's will, those that have been born out of the incorruptible seed, those that were born out of the Spirit of God aren't like that anymore. I don't know about you, but I've been to some churches where there's a lot of people like that still in church. They're still foolish. They're still disobedient. They're still deceived. They're still serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, living in envy, hateful and hating one another. That's why Jesus said to Peter, don't you say that to me. You don't know what spirit you're of. That's a lie. That's not truth. I only plant truth. And if you're going to hang with me, you've got to be truthful. That's what he told him. Okay, this is it. Verses 4 to 7, Titus 3. This is it. It's the last verse. How many believe that? I didn't get one hand. I'm not going to lie to you. But when the kindness, we were all that, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Look at the next verse, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Come on, next verse. Verse 7. Whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do we have verse 7? That having been justified by His grace, we should become what?
Heirs
to the hope of eternal life, to the expectation of eternal life. When? When we die and go to heaven? No, when you are born again. When Christ appears in your life. When God's grace appears in your life, that's my expectation, where it all begins. You and I now are kingdom people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have no idea. You know, I approach this thing. I mean, I've been coming out here now 8 years. I can't believe it's been 8 years. Is that right, Mark? It's 8 years. I've been coming out here 8 years, started in a very humble beginning at the Embassy Suites, and here we are 8 years later. I'm I haven't met. I'm trying to think. I haven't met 5 pastors in this city in 8 years. I go to a pastor's deal and I don't know. We really don't talk much. I'm wondering. I said, God, what do we do? What do we do about the Tamirs that got shot? What do we do about those babies that got shot in the drive-by? God, what do we do about Corey? God, what do we do about that? And I said, but Lord, I don't know anybody. I really don't have a connection. Nobody knows me. And they're like, well, what does he want? He doesn't really know anybody, and we don't know him, and he's not a bishop. Bishop, he's not a bishop. And I said, well, God, I don't know what to do. And he said, that's good. You don't really need to know what to do. You just have to be willing to enhance and to manifest the Father's will. Number two, you just have to take the incorruptible seed, and you have to be led of the Spirit because you're birthed by the Spirit. If you do those three things, the answer is in the house. That's what God said. He said, the answer's in the house. Your solution is in the house. I said, what do I do? He said, ask them. So I'm asking you to come next week and just talk. And let's find a solution. Let's hear from God, because we are kingdom people. We are supernatural people. We are empowered by the Father's will. We work the Word of God. And I believe we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Gosh, it's wonderful to be in this place today. If you're here today and you don't know if that you were to die, you'd go to heaven or hell. My goodness, why would you want to go to hell? He said, well, my friends are all going to be there. I want to be with my friends. No, no, no. You don't want to be with your friends in hell. You want to go to heaven. Heaven is a beautiful place. Come on. Jesus has a plan for your life. And it's not just for you to sit in church. It's for you to sow into the field that God's given you and reap a harvest of abundance for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's time for us to make this place marvelous. It's time for us to infuse a city with a kingdom culture that makes men marvel at what God has done. It's time that God has prepared for us beforehand good works that we might walk in them. This is the time to walk in them. Healing, signs and wonders, deliverances, miracles. It's God's time. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've got sickness in my body, and I need healed right now. If you've got pain in your body or sickness, would you please stand? I just want to pray for you right now. Thank you. Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come? Just rest in this place right now, supernaturally. We know that it's your will, Father. We know it's your will. For by his stripes we were healed. God, we know it's your word. He was bruised and afflicted, smitten of God. We know it's your spirit. For if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will dwell in us, it'll quicken, it'll make alive our physical, natural bodies. God, that's what we're made of. That's our DNA. So I'm praying for healing right now in this room, all over this room. You're standing right now. I want you just to ask Jesus to heal your body right where it hurts or the sickness, disease is at. And I command it to go now in Jesus' name. Never to return again. Never to return again. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Now with those that are standing, you say, Pastor, I just need Christ in my life. I really need to get my life together. Would you pray with me? And if that's you today, would you stand up? Say, yeah, I need God in my life. Pray for me. Just stand up. Thank you. Others, just stand up right where you are. Altar ministers, would you come across this great hall, the front of it? God gave us a beautiful building here. I'm thankful for it, church. Thank you for supporting it. Pastor Troy wasn't telling you anything that's not true. It's your support that means why we're here. Thank you. But this is why. Look at this. I don't know, over the years that we've been here, thousands of people have given their life to Christ. Thousands more have been healed. Thousands more have been delivered. And there'll be more today. Before you leave, before you go that way, please come this way. Let us pray for you. Let's all stand to our feet. You need prayer for anything. Maybe give your life to Christ. Continued agreement and healing. Direction in your life. Encouragement, a word from the Lord, prophetic word, whatever it might be. Would you please come out from where you're standing? Come across the front here to one of these wonderful men and women of God. They'll pray with you. That's all they're going to do. They're not going to ask anything else. Just pray. How many can use extra prayer? Man, I can. So come and receive that prayer right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Go ahead, Brother Randy. Thank you, Lord, for you are amazing and mighty and strong. And we believe that you're going to do great things in this place now, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for you are awesome, Jesus. After we worship you, God. Thank you, Lord.
There's nothing worth more that can never come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Your presence, Lord.
Do it, Jesus.
Let's just sing that again. There's nothing worth more.
Come on, would you lift a hand to heaven and sing it? Come on. There's
nothing worth more.
Come on, just worship
that
Jesus.
That can never come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope.
Come on, your presence, Lord.
Your presence, Lord.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Holy Spirit.
Come on, sing it down.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
I've tasted and seen.
I tasted and seen the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence,
taste and sing. Sing that again. Let's declare that story.
I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves. When my heart is set free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Let's sing Holy Spirit. Let's invite him here.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence.
Holy Spirit!
presence, Lord. More aware of your presence, let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. And I'll stand with thumbs high and heart abandoned in awe for the one who gave it up. And I'll stand so, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. And oh, I'll stand. And I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in it all for the one who gave it all. I'll stand. So, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours. And all I am, and all I am is yours. And all I am, and all I am is yours.
So, Lord, Lord, we determine to be children of truth, to live in truth, to desire truth. In our inward parts, we desire truth, creating sons and daughters, bold and courageous. Adopting the truth and forgetting the lies, we thank you that as we leave this place, we create a kingdom that comes to the earth and lets truth loose into the earth. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We give you praise today. We thank you that when we leave here, we will be those who dispense truth on every occasion. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard. We'll see you this midweek, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. God bless you as you go. If you need prayer, altars are open.